comes Jesus, Messiah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and who is to come. We put our hope and our trust and our love and our faith in that name and in that person. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
How's come everybody's staring at you right now? and you're getting dressed now. You want to come up here so that we can? Because, I mean, there's people at home that are wondering. See, last week you wore a Colts jersey.
Correct, because the Colts and Steelers played last week.
Because the Colts and the Steelers played last week.
And so, we showed up late today because last week it seems like the Steelers showed up late.
Late, oh.
But they did show up.
So there's a little... And so now.
But I think they're sitting Roethlisberger this week.
Oh, okay.
In hopes that the Browns will win. So if the Colts do win today, they don't have to play him again.
I see. So this is in honor of that?
I'm a Steelers fan today.
Okay. Today only.
I need the Browns to lose.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Fair. You can go sit down. I just don't want to say anything else to that. I have another person coming up here now that might have just a slightly different story. Rick, will you come up here? Let's see. What? Yeah. You want a mic? Oh, come on. Well, let me do that because people at home need to hear you. As far as I'm concerned.
Check. Good morning, everybody. Hey, Max, good timing. Could I get you to come up here for a moment, please?
Sure. Did I lose a bet, too?
No, not this time. This one is a long time in waiting. I had some issues with my laser machine as I was doing this project for you back in April. Oh. 10 words left to go on my plaque, the retirement plaque for you, which I would like to give you now. And my laser machine just shut off and died. So, long story short, now I have a new laser, and this is long overdue.
Wow, this thing is sweet. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You want to read that to the folks at home?
Yeah, I would. It says, Max and Luann, you have served the Lord
It does say tirelessly.
Okay. Tirelessly. With glad, some words just stick, you know, and then you try to correct them, and it just makes it worse. With gladness, faithfully, and with great compassion. Glad I'm not preaching this morning. Great compassion for his flock, for lighting and fanning the flames of faith in so many. Thank you. Now, as the day draws on, the next chapter in your life, may God continue to richly bless you and watch over you. May the Lord God of peace grant you peace now and always.
And thank you, Rick. From all of us here at Second Baptist, we thank you.
That's sweet. That is nice. I'll leave us on the back there so that you can look at it. Thank you so much.
There's a stand for it, and then on the back there's a tape to it so you can just hang it and put a stand either way.
Sweet. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Jason. I did enjoy your confidence last week. I'm just sorry that it didn't work out for you.
No, you're not.
You guys, it's getting really deep in here. Please take over. My sermon is aptly titled Apocalypse Now. Before I go on, though, before I get into the sermon, I want to challenge you all, each and every one in this room, everybody at home, I want to challenge you to take everything that you know about Christianity, everything you know about the religion, And I want you to toss it to the side this year. And the reason I want you to do this is not because you might be wrong or you might be right or whatever the case may be, but I think sometimes we accept a lot of things that we hear from people and we just accept them without ever growing in them, without ever researching them, without ever doing anything with it. And so our faith remains stagnant. And I think now is the time that we need to begin to grow our faith. We need to grow it by doing research. We need to grow it by diving into the Word, by getting with God, hooking it up. So the things that you hear now moving forward, I challenge you not to just hear it and go, okay, that's truth. But I challenge you to take it and you go, okay, I want to see if it's truth. I want to experience if it's truth. I want to look into it. I want to dive into it. We're going to call it, how about this, Grow Your Faith 2021. I had somebody, a friend in Antwerp, make that up. So if you're doing things on the internet, you got a hashtag. How many of you use hashtags? Hash brown. I think some of you are lying in here. What is a? That's what you put the little pound sign, you know, the little tic-tac-toe sign in front of something. How many of you do tic-tac-toe? Okay, well, then you know what that looks like at least. So you put the little hashtag sign. It's a pound sign. Grow Your Faith 2021. Put it on Facebook, Twitter, My Face, MySpace, My Insta, whatever. Let the whole world see what you're doing, all right? So, okay. When you think of the apocalypse, let's dive into this. When you think of the apocalypse, somebody tell me what you think of. Give me some imagery or some ideas.
The four horsemen.
Four horsemen. Okay, what? Zombies. Zombie apocalypse.
A movie.
Anybody else?
Doom
and gloom and all sorts of, oh, I thought you were going to. Yep, breakdown of life as we know it. What'd you say? Wearing a Steelers jersey. Got real deep. I want to give you a biblical idea of what apocalypse is, and I want to take it out of 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. So it starts off like this. It says, now I can't talk either today. It's the stage. I think there was a Steelers uniform up here, a few other things going on. It's spiritual warfare. Now, we request you, brethren and sistren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? You know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one who's coming in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what's false in order that they might believe, or in order that they all may be judged who did not believe truth and took pleasure in wickedness. Okay, so do you know what the first act of Satan was when earth began? When he came into the garden, do you know what the first act of Satan was? I'll give you a hint, it's a D word.
Deceive.
He deceived. So if there is deception going on, that means there needs to be a time of revealing going on. If everybody's deceived, then there has to be a time of revelation. If there's falsehood going on, there has to be a revelation of truth come somewhere. There are three things over the past few years that I felt like the Lord was really pressing upon me. The first one, this was back in 2018, the Lord was going to allow evil to come to its fullness and then pluck it right out. Then in 2019, somehow... this was an odd one. Somehow he was going to use me to pronounce Psalm 98:9, which is the returning judgment of the Lord. I don't say that in arrogance. Remember last week we talked about donkeys or the other word? And, you know, if God uses a donkey to speak, don't think too highly of yourself. And I told you that I was that word and a few other things. Okay, moving on. And then 2019 and 2020, a time of chaos was coming that would result in a judgment. So I believe that we are living in the apocalypse now. Dun, dun, dun. But before you shut me out and go, oh man, Jason's talking about the doom and gloom, and he's talking about the zombies, and he's talking about the, I don't know, you name it, the fire from heaven and all those crazy things. Don't, please hear me out. The word apocalypse actually comes from the Greek word apokalypso, and it literally means to reveal. This is why the apocalyptic book is called, what's the last book of the Bible? Revelations, to reveal. So the purpose and the goal of the apocalypse, the purpose and the goal of Revelations even, is to reveal. How many of you have ever tried to study Revelations? How many of you have gotten so either discouraged or scared that you're like, I don't even want to dive into this book anymore. I don't forget it. Yeah. When you start to realize the foundation for Revelations is not the doom and gloom. The foundation is revelation. It's to reveal. Then you begin to understand a little bit better what's happening. And I believe Revelations started right when Jesus came to this earth the first time. And I think that sets the standard for all things to come. Listen, we are living in a time of revelation, and I think it's important that you keep your eyes open. So today, I want to talk about the main focus is why this lawless guy appears. We tend to worry about this guy. How many of you have heard of the Mark of the Beast? 666. How many of you have heard, you know, you won't, if you don't take the mark, you won't be able to buy or sell or anything. And if you don't take the mark, likely you're going to die for it. And so we get into that and we're going, oh man, I don't even want to be around when that guy comes. Well, what's the main focus of this guy? We tend to worry about him so much. Why does God allow him to come? And there really is a purpose, and it has to do with nothing more than revelations. I believe there are four kinds of people out there, probably more, but for the sake of this sermon, four kinds of people. There are those who claim to be Christian, but they're not. So in Matthew, Jesus says this, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but bad tree bears bad fruit. Good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit." We've done this scripture. "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits." Now here's the danger of them. The danger of these people is that they come into you, into your homes, or they come into your churches, or they come into your lives in some way, shape, or form, and their goal is to get you to believe that they are Christian, and then you listen to them, you hear them, and their goal is to take you away from the faith. Remember what I said at the very beginning, my challenge for you is to take everything that you know about Christianity and shove it aside, not because you might be wrong or not because you're right, but because you need to learn to grow in your faith. Because there are people out there who will seek to come into your walk, into your life, into your homes, into whatever part of your life, and they're going to tell you things and to try to steal your faith away from you. So that's the danger of these people. The second kind of people, there are those who believe that they are Christian because they've accepted a religion, but not the Messiah. Paul says this to Timothy, "Realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come." Are there difficult times these days? Okay, just checking. "In the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and holding to a form of what? Godliness, although they have denied its power." So they have accepted a religion, They haven't accepted a Messiah. Now, here's the danger of these people. These people aren't so easily seen. It's not like you go, well, this guy's a real lover of money necessarily that I can see. This guy's really a gossiper. This lady's a real gossiper that I can see. You understand that most gossip happens behind closed doors, don't you? That it's not easily seen. So these people aren't really easily seen necessarily. And so they say or believe even that they're Christian because they've accepted the religion, but they haven't accepted Jesus as their Messiah, as their Lord. The danger of them is that you can't always see them, but they really still do exist. And so you could form a relationship with these people and trust them and do all these great things, and then what happens behind closed doors? Yeah, deception, all types of different things. That's the danger. It's not to say that you're not to love them. You really are. Even you're supposed to love your enemies. But that's the danger. But you have to look out for them. The third type of people, there are those who refuse to believe that Jesus really is truly the Messiah. And I think the danger is very obvious, but they're the kind of people who will take logic, man's logic, and who will say that because logic dictates this over here, God cannot exist. Or logic dictates this over here, there would be no way that a man would come, live, die, go to the cross for your sins, go into the grave, and then be risen from the grave, and then be a living God. There's just no way. That's not logical. But it is logical because the foolishness of God says that it is. And if you have faith, your faith says it is. But these people will say, no, it's not logical. And so because it's not logical, because it doesn't fit my wisdom, it doesn't fit my knowledge, it can't be so. I think the fourth kind of people is you and I hope, is that we're the kind of people who we have done away with man's wisdom and we've said, you know what? Everything is taken on faith. How many of you believe everything that was written in your history books? Used to. How many of you believe everything is written in your science books? How many of you believe everything that's written in, well, math is math. Although Common Core these days, I don't know. Heard about that. How many of you believe all of those things? And yet they were handed down to us by who? Man. They were handed down to us by people. It's not to say that knowledge is bad. It's not to say that we can't believe in some things. But geez, if we take that logic and we go, this is truth over here, but not this over here, we're saying that we believe in man and their fallible wisdom versus God over here who has said that this is what's true. It's all faith. And so we, I believe that the fourth kind of people are us who we say our faith is in this over here. I can't explain it. I can't understand it always. I can't even fathom it. That's what makes God God and me human. But I can say that it's true and I believe it with all my heart. And I will seek to research it and I will seek to dive into it and I will seek to understand it the best of my ability until the day I die. Because the Lord says, those who seek me, they will find me. And that's what I long to do. I long to seek him, and I long to find them. So how do we watch out for the other people? How can we tell? How can we spot a wolf? Jesus said, beware, right? Paul said, in the last days, all of these people, and he says, avoid them. So how can we tell? I think some people will argue that we're not supposed to know. And I would say this, I think that we're supposed to know. It's just that we're not supposed to judge a human heart because God can change a heart, can't he? God can lead people down a path and he can change their hearts. He can show that Paul was the prime example. I'm going to go kill the Jewish people. Instead, he's getting knocked down on the road, blinded. And now he's going to, or the Christian people, not the Jewish people, the Christian people. And he gets blinded and says, well, now I'm going to do my best to minister to them and create more Christian people. Instead of slaughtering them. So Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit can change a heart. We're not supposed to judge a heart, but we are supposed to know. We are supposed to know a heart. Or we're supposed to know at least these kinds of people because Jesus said, beware. And Paul said, avoid. So how can we tell? Watch what they do, not necessarily what they say. How many of you know people can be really, really, really crafty with words? Yeah, people can be real crafty with words, and words are like a veil that people put. They're like a Steelers jersey that people put on, make you think that they're a Steelers fan. Does it smell? Yeah. Or maybe they put on a Colts jersey and make you think that they're a Colts fan, you know, or whatever. But words are like a veil. They make you think something, but they're not necessarily true. People are crafty with words. But this is why it's called sheep's clothing, right? Jesus says, beware of people dressed in sheep's clothing. They're ravenous wolves on the inside. Watch not only their actions, but also watch their reactions. Proverbs 24 says this, do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not destroy his resting place, for a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in calamity. So in other words, this, when a wicked person comes into the time of stress, distress, when they're pressed down, they ain't going to get back up. But though a righteous man falls seven times, now seven times is not a magic number, it's an infinite number. You fall seven times, you get back up again. Do you know why? Because you're in right standing with God. Those who are in right standing with God can't fall, can they? Because you're right beside him. Get it? You're literally in right standing. Anyway. Watch not only their actions, but their reactions. This means when the going gets tough and they're challenged, what will happen? So now, I ask you this. Are you starting to see why we're living in hard times? There's a revelation that needs to take place. Because there's a deception that has swept all across the world. People who have said that they are believers. People who think that they are believers but aren't. People who just plain are not believers. But they're trying to destroy our faith as believers. They're trying to get to us as believers. Sometimes a person is so well crafted, I think, that they can hide their true nature. They think they can hide their true nature. And while we sometimes really want to know about a person, it's the Lord who reveals the hearts of man, and he does so in his way and in his time. So how do we tell when that is the case? I think another term for that we use for the apocalypse is tribulation. How many of you have heard of tribulation? Yep. How many of you heard of trials? Jesus talked about the great time of trial, the great time of testing. So I believe that if you read Revelations, there are a number of things. I'm going to pull this back out. There are a number of things that he does in Revelations. One, he puts a dent in our pocketbooks. So inflation is a huge thing you can read about in Revelation. He puts a dent in our possessions. He puts a dent in our relationships. He puts a dent in things that we cling to. And he does all of these things to reveal right where our heart is. And lastly, he allows this lawless man to come to show who really truly are his and who really truly are not. Jesus said it in this parable. Jesus presented another parable saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The slave said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? He said, no. For while you're gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then when you read Revelation 14, it says this, and I looked and behold, a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud was one like a son of man, having a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Another angel came up out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe. Then he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. Another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, the one with power over fire came out from the altar, and he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, "Put in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, because her grapes are ripe." The angel swung his sickle to the earth and gathered the clusters from the vine of the earth and threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood came from the winepress up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. Man, the emphasis in 2 Thessalonians, though, is not the man of lawlessness. What did it say from the very beginning? Do you remember? Now we request, get that word out, now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of who? Our Lord Jesus, and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure, disturbed by a spirit or message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed. And then it goes on to talk about the man of lawlessness, but then it says, as quickly as he comes, Jesus comes and slays him with his breath. But we're not concerned about the man of lawlessness. We need not be concerned about the man of lawlessness if we are attached to the Lord Jesus. We need not be concerned about him. We need not be concerned about what path he takes or what path he takes the world down or anything like that. We need not be concerned about gloom and doom and all these things, zombie apocalypse and all these crazy things. We may not need to be concerned about them because we're attached with Jesus. So what's our goal? Our goal is this. I want to take you back to the boat. Long time ago, out on the Sea of Galilee, it's storming. And there is Jesus walking on water. And they're all afraid. And Peter shouts out, "Lord, if it's you, tell me, command me to walk on water, and I'll do it." And so what does Jesus say? Come. He says, come. And so Peter gets out of the boat. Now, it is storming. They're in the midst of a storm. And the waves are moving. That's not calm water. The waves are moving. Guys, we are in the midst of a storm. Would you not agree? And the waves are moving. And yet Jesus is saying, get out of the boat and walk. Come. And so our main goal should be, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. For the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's the answer. That's the simple, God's honest answer. It's the gospel that we live by. It's the truth that we live by, that no other work can be done except Jesus Christ. None. No other work can be done but Jesus Christ. Absolutely none. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Because in the midst of the storm, I guarantee you'll walk on water. How many of you think that I feel like right now in this time, I feel like it almost feels like the fiery furnace in Daniel. Like, you know, in the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the fiery furnace, right? Well, did God deliver them from the furnace? I mean, eventually he did. But when the king looked down there, they were still down there, but they were unscathed. They were down there, they were untouched, and yet there was a fourth guy in there. In the midst of the fiery furnace, it's not that they were just taken out of the furnace, but they were just in there unscathed, and Jesus was right there with them. I feel like we're kind of in the fiery furnace. That's what it feels like to me, and I think that we just need to keep our focus and keep our eyes on Jesus. That's the truth that we have to live by. Once again, my challenge to you is to throw everything you know about Christianity to the side. Not because you might be wrong, not because you might be right, but because it's time to grow your faith. That's the real revelation. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you've given us your word, and your word is life. And it's life to those who seek it. It's life to those who take it. And I thank you that your word is living and breathing, and that through your word, we can have hope. Through your word, we can have faith. Through your word, we can be strong. And in the midst of the storm, we can walk on the water. We can put it underneath us because you are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords, not by our will. Your word says not by power, not by might, but by your spirit. And I thank you that you've given that to us. I pray that each person in here will seek to grow their faith this year. And Father, I look forward to seeing the fruit of that harvest. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so who plays Steelers? Can you come up here for a minute? Can you come up here for a minute? Let's let everybody, you know, see this here. This is the turn around. This is the rivalry. This next week.
I was gonna wear a dress under this because that's how I really feel about the Steelers. But I need them to win. Maybe we need to make a bet this week.
Ooh.
I didn't get my jersey for Christmas.
Yeah, okay. Look, you better go sit down now. Rick, since you're the one that made him wear that, will you pray for us? Amen. Oh,